All right, welcome back. Happy Friday. More of the Connor Happer Show here on 1620 The Zone. Nebraska officially put the finishing touches on their full-time coaching staff yesterday with the addition of running backs coach Brian Applewhite. He joins Nebraska after most recently being at TCU, but brings in a whole bunch of experience. We'll get thoughts on all that stuff with BC, who joins us now. Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you?
Oh, morning, afternoon. I'm good. I can't tell what time of day it is. I guess it's 11:30. Technically morning.
We're in that window now where you can say either and people will accept it unless they're a real jerk store.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you not being a jerk store. Initial thoughts. It felt like it was kind of headed one of two ways. But when the Brian Applewhite news came down yesterday, you thought what?
Yeah, that was, I guess I kind of had thought for the last week he was probably the lead guy there. Greg Knox was obviously a name people heard about out of Florida. And, you know, I don't know if there was some kicking the tires of any guys that were in the NFL that might have been a possibility. But, I mean, with Brian Applewhite, I think sometimes we get into this game where, no, not a lot of people do this, but I'll see this. But from some, we start to act like, oh, that's a good hire, that's a bad hire. And, you know, a lot of people didn't know who Brian Applewhite was, you know, a couple weeks ago. So, and I would be one of them, to be honest. And I don't think there's shame in that. I don't think it says anything about Brian Applewhite. We just don't follow, like, what every position coach across the country is necessarily doing. But when you look at his track record, I like that he's been around the block several times, and you know he's been a coach for more than 20 years. And at Colorado State before TCU, they had some of their best offenses they've had in program history, and he was part of that. They also let him be the recruiting coordinator there, which shows that they at least thought he had some recruiting chops to make him that guy who's that organizer. And then obviously, if Gary Patterson hires you down at TCU. And I know it was sort of the end of the run for Patterson there. That speaks something to me when a coach as, I guess you would say, as respected as Gary Patterson has been in college football for, you know, the last 20 years or so, hires him on as an assistant coach. That tells me other people value him and probably is a good sign.
Brian, one of the thoughts kind of at the beginning of all this when Nebraska let go of basically their entire offensive staff back in November, with the exception of Sean Becton, was, okay, well, you're going to do this, but who are the candidates going to be? It's shaping up to be, you know, a pretty quick turnaround. You got to have it's got to be ready and firing on all cylinders year one. But generally, what do you think about the haul that they kind of got? It feels like a good mix of people and maybe toward the top end of what you could have got.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I love the Mickey Joseph hire.
Yeah.
It just feels like that one. Yeah, I know we can go back and forth. Is this good? Is this bad? We'll wait and see on all of them. Mickey Joseph already feels like that was a big, you know, a triple at least, because I think he's going to put Nebraska in the space of some people they haven't been around. And I think the combination of him and Bill Bush as recruiters could be interesting. Like, I think those guys have some connections to some similar guys, and you can send both out on certain occasions maybe to go after people. And that's a lot of recruiting power in a living room. So I really like that hire. I think the Bill Bush hire is a case where, why overthink it? You've got a guy who has been a special teams coordinator at some big-time programs. He's done it for a long time. He's a great recruiter. And he already has a year down the runway of knowing the personnel on this team and how things have been done that gives him an advantage, where he's not just, like, figuring out who's this guy, who's that guy. So I think both those hires make sense. Mark Whipple, you know, that'd be another case where I obviously knew what was happening at Pitt this year, and you know that Kenny Pickett's tearing it up, but it's not like I followed Mark Whipple's career around the entire time. But when you look at who he is as a guy who's coached for four decades and really has run offenses where the head coach let him run it and it was his, and then you listen to Frost's comments before he made the hire about what he won, I think it kind of stacks up together. I mean, that's a guy who you can say, I trust this guy to be the voice of this thing. He's been around in the NFL. He knows how to take criticism and deal with all the stuff that goes on here. I think the good thing about Mark Whipple, just my early reaction to him, is he's not going to be a guy who's fazed at all by this place. You know, like this sort of, you know, this kind of intense bubble that is around Husker football where everything is put under the microscope. I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to ruffle his feathers or he's going to spend a lot of time worrying about that. And that's a big advantage to have that type of personality where you can deal with that.
Don't you kind of feel that way with all the guys? I mean, Mickey Joseph kind of knows it. Bill Bush kind of knows it. And they slide into this new spot where, you know, and Brian Applewhite, you know, they slide into this spot where it feels like there's kind of some new air there. And maybe you don't get bogged down by some of the same things that they've kind of been experiencing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's a good phrase. I mean, new air for players, too, where, like, if I'm in the wide receivers room and I see Mickey Joseph come in and I know who he's coached, and, I mean, some of his players are a couple of the guys he's coached are the best players in the NFL right now at their position.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're talking about Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, I mean, those are the best of the best. And I think it said a lot too that Trey Palmer, you know, wanted to follow him here. You know, it sort of seemed like one of those deals where there's a guy who actually played for Mickey Joseph, who saw him up close as a recruiter and as a college coach for multiple years, and said that's what I want to be around. I'm gonna hang with him. So I think it's a new life for some guys too. You know, maybe a guy like Oliver Martin, who really phased out sort of as last year went along. Mickey was very complimentary of like his route running and stuff like that. So maybe it opens up a door for a guy like that where they got a jolt in their step now, thinking they can get some stuff done. So. I think it's sort of a new life on the offense, at least going into the spring, and that's probably a good thing.
Who's been, outside of Casey Thompson, who's been the biggest transfer portal addition so far?
Well, I actually think, and it's not said to just be like, oh, look at me, I'm different. I think a lot of people are saying the punter from Montana,
yeah.
Brian Buccini.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to run hard to try to get people to see why that would be your opinion. Because if he can actually be that guy he was at Montana, you know, where he's averaging 46 yards a punt and the net is about 43, that's his goal, he said. He wants a net of 43. And if you look at Nebraska's numbers last year, I think the net was like 35.7. It was ridiculously bad. It was like ranked 120th or something in FBS. And so you're talking about, he hasn't done it yet, but if he did, that's more a 7 to 7.5 yard change every punt. You know, we're talking about field position. And for a football team that lost games the way this team did, let's just take away the missed kicks, which are obvious, like the Michigan State play, and just focus on those numbers. I mean, maybe that flips three games last year, that type of net change. So, and I feel like Nebraska also needs a guy who's dynamic at pinning people deep, and that sort of has been lost in recent years. I think that's so critical in the Big Ten especially. We all make fun of, like, Kirk Ferentz punting from the other team's 39 on a Saturday. But I'll tell you what, in this league, if you have a guy that is good and can knock a team down at the 2-yard line and you trust your defense, that's worth so much because you're basically getting another, you know, you're starting your next possession in scoring position. So I'd say Buccini, Bleak Road, the kicker you could throw in there, but I also think Tommy Hill would be one just because I believe with Cam Taylor-Britt gone, there's definitely an opening for somebody like that who Travis Fisher recruited at a high level before he went to Arizona State, and now a year later he's here. He immediately is somebody who can compete for a starting job.
Well, when, I mean, really, when you look at a bunch of the additions, you add Bill Bush as a special teams coordinator, and you finally do that. Even though a lot of this is what people have been kind of been clamoring for, you add him and a punter and a kicker and a guy that, you know, theoretically, you know, could or would help you out in special teams in Trey Palmer in the return game. And not that just throwing new people at it is the solution, but it's something that at the very least has been, you know, seriously addressed over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's been a lot said about Nebraska's recruiting class, sort of the natural recruiting class of high school JUCO players and where it was ranking as it was being put together. And I think it was ranking like, you know, in the 50s or 60s throughout the cycle. But all along, you had to kind of wait and say, let's see what they get in the portal, because this is a new era of college football where you can't really judge a class now by just the early signing day haul. That's a piece of it, but it is only like half the pie anymore. And this other half right now on 24/7 Sports, we have Nebraska's portal class ranked 10th, you know, nationally. So when you combine that with the pieces they like that they got out of the high school JUCO ranks, we'll see if they got the right guys or not. But it's actually turning in to be a pretty healthy number of adds, and obviously there'll be some subtractions here. And then post-spring, we're going to do this all over again. I mean, it's going to go in waves where, you know, there's a big portal push for a few weeks, and then it slows down. And then after spring ball, there's going to be a lot of people across the country who move on again. So I still think the thing they need, Connor, is they need that big dog on the defensive line. Yeah. Like, I'd love to see like a 22-year-old dude, sort of your nose type guy, you know, who's a space eater and has played a lot of snaps. And I do love the young players they have, like a Nash Hutmacher and Jalen Weaver and Raquan Buckley and those guys. But I think they need a guy who can give them a bridge to the future, like a one-year bridge where those guys don't have to have it all on their shoulders. So that's what I think is missing, but they could still go out and get.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at just that you mentioned the transfer portal rankings there. I mean, it might seem like Nebraska's kind of redoing or, you know, restructuring the roster, and they certainly are, but they're not unique in that perspective. I mean, there's South Florida near the top of the list. They're third. They brought in 14 people from the transfer portal. Nebraska's brought in 10. I mean, basically everybody on this list in the top 25-ish has brought in more than five guys to the portal. I mean, just your thoughts on the context of what Nebraska is doing, trying to reshape their roster in a world where kind of everybody's doing it.
Yeah, and I just think that's something we shouldn't forget. I mean, it that's the way college football is now, whether you like it or don't. And one thing I like is that I do feel maybe a year ago you would hear some public comments sometimes from Husker coaches where there was still sort of that old school, like, sort of not dismissive, but, you know, kind of playing to the crowd, like, I'm not that huge on the portal, you know, and all that stuff. And I understand that. I'm fine if that's your opinion, because I sometimes have that opinion, and that maybe you want to say it to your coach, a fellow coach, under your breath over a drink. Yeah. But publicly, I think you need to embrace it, and you need to say, this is the way college football is going to be or is right now. And we can either complain about it and get passed by, or we can play this game by the rules that are in place the best we can and excel at it and adapt. And I feel like they've been doing that lately, and you haven't heard some of the same comments you heard a year ago even. So I do like that part. And yeah, it's going on all over college football. So it's just something, you know, people have to, you know,
yeah,
and bear it, I guess, if you don't like it. I mean, that's the way it is.
Well, for sure. And then as far as what you've heard or what you've, you know, kind of felt in talking to people, how is this kind of restructure, rebuild or retool or whatever it might be, for whatever the term is for Nebraska, how is it being looked at in the landscape of, you know, you always want to compare it to the Big Ten or maybe even the rest of the country? It feels fresh to me. I don't know if that if it feels that way to everybody else. So what's the kind of view on Nebraska right now as a team?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Nebraska, even with what I said the previous comment about maybe you'd hear a comment here or two from a coach where they weren't that keen on the portal, I'd have to say they did have some guys you'd say were successes that they've gotten from it previously. Like,
yeah.
You know, Samore Toure comes to mind, and obviously there were misses too. So it's not like it's like the first year that this has popped up where they're doing it, but they are doing it to a much higher level, I feel like. And there's just a lot more guys in the portal too. I mean, it's just simple math. There's so many more players to pick from. They knew it was going to be that way. For a variety of reasons. One, it's just sort of the era we're in, but also because of, you know, like the COVID eligibility freeze, I think sort of log jammed some position groups across the country. So guys are looking elsewhere. And so Nebraska is fully ready, I think, to attack it, knowing that this is the way it is. And I think they also looked across, because Scott Frost said this at one of his press conferences. I don't know that he mentioned specific teams, but he said, yeah, there's been a couple teams in our league, the Big Ten, that have done it really well and adjusted on the fly, and that's going to have to be a part of it. And obviously you think of Michigan State last year, and what Mel Tucker did there is, I mean, he put a bunch of different pieces together that were from all over the place, and suddenly they were a top 10 team, you know, when nobody had that coming before the season started. So I do wonder, though, if there's going to be a lot more of a roller coaster ride in college football now, because it's going to be a year-to-year roster remodeling job that certain programs are going to have to do. So you might not see as many cases where teams rattle off, you know, 4 10-win seasons in a row that aren't Alabama and Georgia. You might see, like a Michigan State, have that year where their roster fits together just right and they win 11 games, and then the next year they win 6 games. You know, I think that could be a possibility that'll be interesting to follow as far as, like, what's the actual results that come sort of in this new era in college football.
Yeah, well, I will say this. It feels like to me, I mean, you're going to have a really established, you know, the teams that have the established cultures, and we use that word often, but the cultures or just the way of kind of going about it, I feel like there's going to be an extra premium on that. With all the changeover, you're kind of, you know, picking and placing guys. It's been this way in basketball before. But the teams that kind of know what they're doing and have a vision for it, they're going to have a step up. And outside of that, I don't know that the power will shift that much.
Yeah, not at the very top, I don't think. I just think in sort of in the middle ground of college football, those teams who are sort of in that, you know, 5 to 9 win category, I think you're going to see a lot of swap. Maybe that there has been some of that always, but I think even more so. Like Kansas State, when they were coached by Bill Snyder, they used to always recruit the junior colleges very heavily because there's so many JUCOs down there. And what you would see is Bill Snyder would have these teams some year where suddenly they're like a top, you know, 5 or top 10 team one year. And then another year, you know, it could be the next season, they're like trying to make a bowl game, you know. And I think there could be more of that just because it's going to be just such a completely different remodel every year for programs. And let's be honest, I think coaching free agency has picked up too. It seems to me like there's more swapping of coaches, you know, and Tony Tuioti going to Oregon. And, I mean, there's been some of that in the past, but it feels like that's maybe even more prevalent. So every year you're sort of adjusting, okay, who are the new faces in the room and who are the best coaches that can make that into something that looks pretty over the course of 8 months. But you're right. I think there's got to be that foundation of there is sort of a standard of this is how we do things around here, and people buy into that pretty quickly. And the places that do that well are going to succeed, and those that don't are going to continually be flailing, I think.
Yep, that's the challenge. That's the challenge for both football and basketball, I think, at this point. BC, we'll let you go, man. Appreciate you taking the time, as always, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.
Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7. Check out his stuff there, Nebraska.247sports.com. We will take a break. Odd News is up next on the Connor Happer Show, 1620 The Zone.